Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
At this point in the presentation, I asked the students to engage in an interactive activity where they practice negotiating and communicating about various things that would come up in the course of a relationship. So I asked them to pair off or form a group with people whom they are sitting near. And these are not people necessarily that they're actually in a relationship with. In fact, it's better and sometimes easier if they don't necessarily know the person that they get paired off with super well. So they're asked to imagine that they're in a relationship together, just assume that under whatever circumstance that they would like that to be, and to negotiate how they would work their particular relationship. So we asked them to brainstorm and discuss and negotiate and compromise and come up with solutions on questions such as, where are you going to live? Who's going to live with you? How are you going to split up your finances? Who's going to do the chores? How are you going to initiate sex? Is one person responsible for that? Does the other person have the option to refuse? Like, lots of different things that could be the source of conflict in a relationship or could be points of working well together. So I gave the students about 15, 20 minutes to sit and work with their partner or their group. It was up to them if they wanted to be in a poly situation, and to come up with the answers to all the questions on the relationship contract. And then we came back and discussed what the activity was like.
So we covered a whole lot of ground on that. And now I'm going to let you apply it in real life. That was me being wah. All right. So right now, you're going to hook up with somebody in this room. Ow! Not really. But you are going to have a relationship with somebody in this room. And you just, I would like it to be somebody that you're just sitting right next to. Obviously, this is not going to mean that you have to do any, I mean, you don't have to actually be dating. And in fact, it's better if you're not sometimes for these. So it's not too awkward, but I just want you to pick somebody right next to you, and we are going to work out a relationship contract. You're going to take a look at these questions, and you're going to decide for yourselves in your relationship, just the two of you, how you are going to make it work. Now, obviously, you don't have to be dating this person. You don't have to be interested in dating this person. You don't have to be of the same sexual orientation or anything about this. This is just a thought exercise to figure out how we keep talking about communication. That has been the answer in all of these, is we need more information. We need to express what it is we want and negotiate it. So let's have an actual experiment with that. I'm gonna hand these out and you're gonna pick somebody. And the fact that if we have an odd number group, I'm not mad at that. You can figure it out however you want to. It is your relationship, all right? Okay, so we are back from the relationship contract funness time. How did it go?
He's awesome.
apparently we'd be good together.
Yeah, we'll be, yeah.
Not gonna happen, don't worry.
Yeah,
no,
not gonna happen. But I'm taking. But we, like, most of the questions, we worked it out, and we'll... It's not like we worked it out. We just had very similar thoughts and ideas. Like, it was just...
Yeah, it meshed well.
Wow. Yeah.
Me and Mark decided that we're really getting married.
I mean, seriously, like, it was a lot of compromise going on. Like, you know, we decided, like, pretty much it was pretty easy. It probably wouldn't be that easy in real life, but it was a lot of give and take. So, like, it's when it came to, like, the chores, he's like, well, you know, if we're both raising the kids, it depends. If we're both working, it depends on whenever time you get home. If I'm already home, I don't mind doing laundry. So it's like, yeah. He's amazing. We're really getting married, you guys.
You're all invited.
So I had sister wives. So it was a lot. Like, I'm compromised between one other person is ridiculous sometimes, but I had to deal with two people to compromise with. So like, I would not have any money to my name. It would be split evenly and distributed amongst the two.
As well as your time.
And my time, it would be every other day. And I can't give one person three children and not the other three children. So it was kind of like, the compromising was very, very difficult. And I have dogs. I had really no say. They kind of just like ganged up and they're like, this is what's going on. So it was hard, difficult with more than one person.
Welcome to San Mario.
Duplex.
Well,
for us, it was very easy because we have the same majors and, you know, we decided, like, it was just like, yes, no, we'll do everything together, so it was fine.
Our relationship contract was kind of simple, and it focused kind of, I think it was because we were both, even though we were both two different religions, we both managed to get along really well with it, and then, like, when it came to our kids, we were able to compromise on our religion for our kids, so it worked for us.
Interesting.
Took a little bit of both.
What, if I may ask, how did you come up with a compromise on it?
Well, she's ketchup and I'm mayo, so that's, we had to make up the religion, so she's, it's like a philosophy. She lives in the philosophy of ketchup and I live in the philosophy of mayo, so our children are French dressing.
Nice!
For our religion, he's Catholic and I was Anglican, so our kids are just going to be non-denominational.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to rock.
I just had a comment on this entire thing. I don't think a lot of people, when they get into a relationship, they do this at all. And so, like, they might concede to something one time. Oh, yes, let me not work, and I'll take care of the kids. And before you know it, she's doing all the chores. And the next thing, she's giving up her last name. Or, like, everything, it's like a snowball effect. And I guess if a person, when they start the relationship, they do a relationship contract, it'll work out better in the end. And, like, a person doesn't feel like they got, like, screwed in a relationship.
Did anybody find it, like, really difficult? I mean, it sounded like you just sort of got railroaded. But did anybody else find this, like, an arduous task to find compromises?
Everything seemed to work fine between me and Dan. Until we talk about children. I don't want any children. He wants 7 or 8.
More than Mary, I said.
So we still didn't compromise yet, but I don't think we're gonna get married since of that.
That's a big difference of opinion.
I know, right?
Anybody else have any challenges rear up?
Well, our challenges was more so in the sexual expressions because we had like
a three-way
kind of going. Yeah, so we had to kind of figure out. No, you got to do it. I don't want to read it, but it's kind of hard to figure out, you know.
She and
it turns or yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
All right, let's get down to like the different parts of it. Were certain sections because we had the option of living arrangement, money, sexual rights and expression, children, household duties, name and miscellaneous. Like were some easier than others, like some tasks are easier to compromise on?
Most definitely, like, can I take a paper real quick?
Yeah.
The things with, like, I guess, like, the household duties and things like that, that's just, like, the miscellaneous stuff. That's easy to work out. But when it came to the children, it all depended on, like, the money and the living stuff. It's because I wouldn't want to have kids unless, like, I'm financially stable and, like, I'm on my own and I'm ready to settle down and things like that. Then it also depended on how long we were together. So we thought about that first. So we set it at like 5 years, and then we went based on how long we've been together to work out everything else.
Okay. We did something weird. We took my last name instead of his because it's pretty awesome.
Storm.
Yes, Storm.
He's a superhero.
Yeah, but it's gonna be Mr. and Mrs. Nick Storm instead of Nicole because then he gets to still be the man.
Nick and Nicole.
We're so cute.
Oh. I know.
It works out well.
That worked out really well. What was the easiest thing to hash out?
The sex.
The sex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ours, we're kind of like...
It was so funny because we did ours. I know we're a couple, but and I love Catherine, and we're going to spend our lives together, but we did ours as our outside couples in real life. So
brought it together.
Yeah. Okay. So we kind of applied it to our outside relationships and brought it to our relationship as a love, you know, quadrangle.
Yes.
And so our sex
worked
arrangement.
Out greatly.
Yeah. We're just, everyone can initiate everything. Doesn't matter.
I mean, sometimes you have to please them and sometimes I have to please you. Yeah. And the one thing is we know you don't go anal.
Yeah, there's no anal penetration. Exit only.
Exit only, yes.
Sorry for those who appreciate that, but we don't.
Not to yick your yum or anything.
Drew a line in the sand. All right.
Jellyfish.
Our sex situation was dictated by our living arrangement. That Amanda decided that like she'd prefer not to live together until we were married. So because we live separately, we also decided that we're abstaining until we get married. So that our sex life really doesn't exist. We can hug and kiss, but there's nothing past that. So.
Okay. I asked Mark, would he marry me first? Before we got married, before we moved in together. So he said we were married, so we decided to live together. And when it came to like the whole sex thing, we said we both can initiate both, but then it was saying like, what type of sexual behaviors are you okay with? And if not, the partner isn't okay with it, what would you do? And he said, I wouldn't do anything that you're not comfortable with.
Aww.
It's the amazing, you guys. Like, seriously.
all right. Looking at the less fun stuff. Look at the less scandalous things. So like living arrangements. Like did most people live together? Okay. Was anybody living apart? I mean, you mentioned that you were gonna wait till you're married. Living apart. Okay.
He said we live together, but I want to work night shifts, so on those days we live in separate bedrooms.
Oh. Okay. All right. And was anybody going to have anybody else live with them?
Oh.
Your quadrangle?
Yeah, no. That was just funny for our sex part. But like, if we were really in a relationship, then I would want my brother to live with me. But we said only family. We can't have like friends just coming in and using our house as like a flop house.
I can come over.
Yeah, but you're not living. Like, go home.
Possibly parents when they're too old to be left by themselves. Because I don't believe in locking my mom in a freaking nursing home. She has taken care of me for way too long. And if she is too old to stay by herself because of whatever reason, be it medical or just simply her age, then I'm okay with her living with me.
Okay. Did that come up for anybody else? Did you think about situations like aging parents or somebody in family that needs that?
We said that for like if that happened with us, we'd be okay with it if we could afford to have sort of like a basement apartment. So it would be like someone was living with you, but they had a kitchen, a bathroom. You know, you didn't really need to like run into them every day. Not to be like rude, but also, you know, they're independent, but they're close by.
When it came to money, because that really is a source in real life of problem, was it a problem in this theoretical argument? Okay.
We agreed to just keep it all separate.
Okay.
We weren't going to combine it at all. We were just going to make our own money and spend our own money.
Okay.
What if you have like buying furniture or something like that that's shared use?
We're gonna like alternate on like we're gonna like write down what we bought. Like if we went out to eat like one time I'd pay and then one time she'd pay.
Okay.
And then if we bought furniture I guess then I'd like buy the TV or something like that.
Okay.
Is the expectation that you're both making about the same amount?
Well, yeah, we're both nursing majors, so
okay.
We're both gonna be nurses, I guess.
Yeah.
That does help. All right. More on money?
Oh, we put money together, except credit cards.
Except credit cards. Okay.
Because God forbid we
God
break
forbid,
up
God
or.
God forbid. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
We had two separate accounts, but one joint account just for like bills and all that stuff.
We had like everything was together, and then we actually had sort of like we said like we'd split, we'd take 5%, and then 2.5% each of like money that's like no judgment money. So just like I could go and buy, well, I'd hope a boat, but like you know, like I could go out and like spend it all on food, and she could go out and spend it all on like clothes or whatever, and it would just be like it's your money, do what you want with it. No judgment, like.
But it's only a small percentage of our.
Yeah, it'd be like a really small, and the rest would be together. So that way you don't like feel resentful if like someone goes out and buys themselves tons of stuff, with like your collective money.
He said we could have joint accounts if I signed a prenup. So I said I'll just buy you presents all the time, so then I don't have to sign it.
Okay. You bribe your way out of it.
We talked about having separate accounts, but using that money to jointly pay for like furniture in the house and bills and stuff like that. So we'll still have separate accounts that we can use our own money to take care of other things that we want. So.
I'm struck by how different the answers are in this group than among people who are like a generation older. Like I don't know if you've ever talked about like. This stuff like with like your parents' generation and how differently these things like it seemed pretty you know there's a variety of answers in here but a lot of we're gonna keep our stuff separate and part of that's because you're not you know gonna really have to do this either like so it's a much easier answer to give but how different it is now than the idea of there's for instance like one earner and like everything is all in one account like that sort of thing so it's just you know it's just different than it might have been in the past. So discussing the sexual stuff, was it easier when in this sort of scenario than it is in real life? Was it harder since it was theoretical? Like, it was easier? Okay.
I feel like it. I mean, I'm pretty open about things. It's not too many things that I don't like. It's a lot of things that I do like. But the things that I don't like, don't do them because I'm gonna tell you not to do them. And if you do them, then we're gonna have a talk. I'm not the type of person to be like, all right, well, I'll have to just run into it for me to know that I don't like it. No, I know what I like. I know what I don't like. Don't do it if I tell you not to.
Okay. I think it was easier because. There's no like emotions or anything mixed into it, like where it's like a friend, like just make believe story type stuff. So like it wasn't like you were giving it everything because it wasn't real. Okay. So it was kind of just like a lot easier to get over the bumps and stuff like that.
Okay. Did anybody have like major disagreements in the sexual thing? Like somebody was like, okay, so I'm really into BDSM. We're going to have a dungeon. It's going to cost probably $50,000 to get all the stuff that I need in there. Did anybody have, and then the other person was like, nope, not happening. Totally vanilla. Like we're not even going to be allowed to change positions. Like was there any big difference on the sexual stuff?
The thing was with us, I was like, I'll try anything once, but if I don't like it, no. Okay. Like, that was my thing. That's why it was like simple.
I think it's valid.
Okay.
It's valid.
So one of the things that sometimes happens when we're negotiating the sexual stuff in real life is that the person who wants the thing that is less common or less average, they have to be the one that compromises, or else it feels like the other person's getting pushed into something. Or like, how do we decide? You know, we want everybody to be happy in this. How do we work this out? And do you feel like in real life there is a side that should give in? Like the person who wants more, they should be willing to go without. Or does the person who's a little more reticent, should they like open themselves up a little bit? Where does the responsibility lie when we're hashing this stuff out in real life?
I think it's communication, because if a person that needs a lot of emotion, a lot of attention, a lot of, you know, maybe a lot of sex, who knows, and the other person is very, you know, to themselves and so forth, I think it's, you know, hey, this is the type of person I am, can you give me a little bit more? But you have to understand, you can't expect everything, but at least more than what you're getting a little bit, like something. Communication.
That's why I think it's important to really just be yourself in your relationship, because that way, when you are married, like, and you're like contracted into it, like, you know, like really, like for real, you know, like that stuff is already sort of, if not like taken care of, it's been like touched upon before. So, you know, like if you're yourself and you're like, this is what I like, then you know right away it's either a huge problem or it can be worked on, and like it might just take time.
The thing you have to think of, yes, you make a contract and we have this paper, but as soon as you do that, you have to also bear in mind that when you go out there, reality starts, life starts. It doesn't happen as smoothly as what you have there, because so sometimes if you say, okay, we are going to share, you know, how we're going to take care of the child, but then the other person's job probably becomes more demanding. There's another promotion and more hours come into play. So you also have to be able to compromise and to go back and revisit what we have, and maybe one person may have to, you know, compromise so that it could be able to run. The other thing is that if you say you're going to do something, that you are doing it and not letting, you know, you just keep automatically forgetting that, okay, you had to do the groceries today, or you had to pay the bills, or going behind the partner's back and going into the joint account and trying to get money off of it so you can do your own business, when we have already decided that the joint account is going to be for the bills and stuff, and we have our separate accounts to do whatever. So it's a continuous conversation, and it's a continuous compromisation going in there. And again, trust comes into play a whole lot there. So, you know, having this on paper, then what's going to make it really effective is making it happen, because they are going to have a lot of curveballs coming in, because reality sets in. Okay. That's just how it is. Okay.
So here's just a couple random questions to throw at you. So like you're in this relationship. Some of y'all were in poly situations anyway, but let's say somebody was like, let's bring in some guest stars for cameo appearances. Like, is the responsibility on the person to be like cool with that? Is the responsibility on the person who wants that to like just let that go if that's a thing that they want? So it could be any example. It could be a threesome, like that was, you know, when I say cameo guest star appearance, it could be trying out some sexual activity that you just haven't before. Like, where?
I'm just gonna let you answer.
Call me crazy, call me insecure, call me whatever you want, but no. And I'm not compromising, and that's all I have to say. And I understand, you know, people like what they like, and that's fine. I'm not going to judge you based on it, but can you judge me because I don't want that? No. I'm just saying that I can't give that to you. So you can either find someone that can, or you can come to my side, and I guess I'm greedy. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll compromise on anything else. I'll compromise. I would maybe even be willing to... No, I wouldn't compromise on that either. Never mind. I would rather take the booty sex than a third person. And I'm not doing that.
The quote of the day, perhaps. Perhaps the quote of the day. All right. All right. I like it. Do you think this will be useful to you in practicality in real life?
Yes.
Was this okay? Yeah. Is anybody planning on taking this home to their partner and like for real? Is he doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I can also email this so that you have more copies. All right. Yeah. Has anybody done anything like this with their partners? Has anybody actually hashed this stuff out before? Logistics?
Half of it?
Okay.
All right.
I'm actually engaged, so I feel like if I hadn't addressed these issues with my fiance, like, there'd be a problem at my stage in my relationship now.
Okay. All right. Anything occur to you that you hadn't thought of before? Were any of these things, like, stuff that you hadn't thought about talking about, like...
What? Just not in such a formal way. Talk about it, just the
It could, it occurred to me that it's asking all these things, but it never specified to ask you, like, are you married or are you not? You know, because that's really, like, important to me, because if you're asking me about money, you're asking me about living arrangements and children and basically my whole future, like, so am I married to this person? Is this just my girlfriend? How long have I been with you? Do I even know you like that? Like, these are a lot of things. These are a lot of questions you have to answer before you even start answering anything on the paper. So I kind of noticed that about the different questions they're asking. They're really specific, but there are some overarching questions you have to answer before you get down to the details.
Well, this kind of goes back to that question earlier about, was it Sarah and Jake, maybe, where they were trying to figure out what they were going to do? And, like, that was an exact example of what are we, how are we defining this? And, like, they were having difficulty negotiating it, so.
I feel like a lot of these questions are questions you need to ask before you get serious, because a lot of these questions are a deal breaker if you do disagree. So, like, I think, like, my father always says, there's nothing you shouldn't be able to talk about before you actually consider being serious with the person, because these are things you need to know before you get serious.
No, I was just going to say, I think it would be interesting to have, I'll just use myself as an example. Me do one, and then my partner do the other one, and then, because I don't want to pressure him, and I don't want him to pressure me as to an answer, you know, and then kind of come together and see what each of us come up with, and then go take, find a compromise from there, find a common ground from there. So I we pretty much agreed on everything, but for people who don't agree, they might feel like, well, this person's more dominant, and I kind of have to, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a very good point. And in reality, if you were going to use this, like, in a counseling situation with a couple, you would have them fill them out separately so that, like, they're faced with that reality of what you did write down. And it's not just like, yeah, I suppose that would work for me too. Or, I hadn't really thought about it, so I didn't write anything down, so I'm just going to do what you said because I didn't have an answer. Like, that sort of thing. So it is helpful to clarify your own values before coming to what is really a compromise. Do you even know if you are compromising? Like, did you really agree on it or not? All right. So I think that's enough on, I will let you have that back, enough on the relationship contract stuff. So before come to the end, we handed out the cards. Can I get them back? So if they have a question, or if you still want to write something down, you can write them down. So if you didn't write anything, I'll just take it back. If you did write something, I will take it. So now we're just going to come to the Q&A portion. So if you have any questions, you can just straight up ask them. I will also answer the one that I got. So if you have any more anonymous ones, or if you want to ask him out loud, I'm going to start with the one that I got on the card, which is probably a joke, but I'm still going to answer it because that's how I do. Who likes booty sex? It is a legitimate question. It is a legitimate question. And why is it a legitimate question? Because the answer is lots of people. Lots of people do. Lots of people don't. Some people are interested in it theoretically. Some people are interested in it because they've seen it in porn and that makes them interested in it. Sometimes people just find out from messing around or something that it turns out that it feels really good. So maybe we should go with that effort a little bit more. And the interesting thing about this answer is that it is completely separate from your sex or your orientation. It is entirely separate. One of the most popular columns of sex columns that I wrote, this was like in 2009, the highest read one of the year, was about pegging. And pegging, for those who are not familiar, is when a woman wears a strap-on to anally penetrate a man, and people flipped out. They were on one of the, yeah, salud. On one of the websites that I write for, people spaz. They're like, he's clearly gay. And the answer is like, your butt does not have an orientation separate from you. there are nerve endings there that make it feel a certain way. And that is entirely separate from to whom you are attracted. And there are reasons that it is pleasurable for both men and for women. And there are different reasons, because you have prostate stimulation in men. And in women, it's, you know, you just have a series of nerves around there. And if you're into it, then you should just know about it and know how to do it safely. anything you're going to put in the rectum has to have either a tapered end, like a big flared end, or it has to be attached to something like a, you know, like, for instance, anal beads have a long string. What you do not want to do ever is insert something into the butt that you can't pull back out. You don't want anything to get sucked in there because the vagina has a maximum capacity. It won't get lost. It's not going anywhere. There's nowhere it can go. It'll hit the cervix, and that's, I mean, you might have to go in there and fish for it if it's like, you know, like a Super Bowl or something. I don't know. I don't know what you put in there. I don't know. These are true things. These are things that have happened. But if you put, like, for instance, a vibrator in the rectum that doesn't have a big flared base so that it can't go in, you're not getting it back. You are going to wait till it comes back later. Now, maybe a day or two, or you may end up having to go to the hospital if it stays up there. This, people do this all the time. If you are a nurse, you are going to see this. If you know anybody who's been an emergency room doctor, you ask them. You ask them how many things they have taken out of butts because somebody slipped and fell in the shower. and just happened to be. So the important thing is, if you're going to engage in anal play, just know what you're doing. Use lots of lube. Trim your nails. Warm it up like any other body part. You don't just go to town. You start out with like two of the techniques that that people teach are spider fingers, and ringing the doorbell. Like there's lots of warming it up. You warm it up. You don't just go in there like, hey. It's not like that. You warm up that area the same you would with any other. Lubrication, and also lubrication. So those would be the keys to the booty. Flared base or some way to retrieve it, warm it up, trim your nails, lots of lube, all right? And this doesn't say anything about your orientation. It doesn't say anything good or bad about you if you're into it or you're not into it. You don't have to do it. It's not mandatory, despite what porn may tell you. So it is popular to talk about, and every time a sexpert goes onto a college campus, they get asked about butt sex now. This was not the case 15 years ago. It's just very, very popular to talk about now. But it, again, it's not mandatory. If you're into it, just make sure you're doing it in a safe way. And if you're not, don't feel bad, right?
So I just thought it was interesting how you were saying, like, it's your butt has no, like, orientation. Mm-hmm. I actually read an article one day, and it was given to me by a sexuality professor that I took, and like, what it said was, the percentage of heterosexual couples that partake in anal sex is higher than the percentage of gay couples that partake in anal sex. So I thought that was pretty interesting, considering that that's what everyone thinks about when they talk about, you know, anal sex. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good point. If you're a man engaging in sexual activity with another man, there's not like a set menu. It's you know, it's what you negotiate. It's what you want to do. And if you're in a opposite sex relationship, again, it's what you want to do. You know, it's up to you. There's no requirements. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. All right. Okay, what happens if you're not getting wet, but you are turned on and want to have sex? Okay, so there's a lot of possibilities that go in there. Lubrication, and I'm assuming this is having to do with vaginal lubrication. There are lots of reasons that could become an issue. One of them, and this is a random thing, dehydration, like that can be a significant part of it. I mean, if you're feeling you are emotionally and mentally aroused, but your body is not following, you could be drunk, you could be taking antihistamines, you could have just not drank enough water that day. Like all these reasons that your body's like, well, we just don't have the water to give to this process right now. It's like, you know, Colorado is like, we had a drought, so there's nothing that's going to make it to Nebraska. Like, you know, there's reasons like that. If it's a consistent problem, it could be a health issue, or it could just be like natural variation. Some people just get wetter than others, and it could be a hormonal thing. Different times of the month will mean different levels of everything. So if it's a consistent problem and it's bothering you, I mean, you could definitely go see if you're having some sort of hormonal situation, but it's not something to necessarily stress about. And the reason it's not something to stress about is because you can buy it on a shelf. So if you're not making your own, you don't need to feel bad. You don't need to feel like something's wrong. You don't need to feel like something's getting fixed, because you can always buy more. You can buy lubrication and use it, and that's fine. And it doesn't mean that you're not healthy, and it doesn't mean your partner isn't turning you on. So rather than like, you can't like think it into happening. So if it's a situational thing, you don't have to blow it out of proportion. If it's an ongoing problem, and I mean, there's lots of different hormonal methods of birth control that will actually influence the amount of lubrication. So it could be from that. It could be, like I said, antihistamines are a culprit that people often forget about. Drunkenness, what you eat, smoking, all sorts of stuff will influence your lubrication, and what it tastes like and what it smells like. What you eat will influence it. One of the columns that I wrote that was helpful on this matter had to do with like what you could do in your diet to make your vaginal secretions and your semen taste better and smell better. So you can influence this through your daily activities. Exercise good, smoking bad, drinking bad, eating meat and dairy bad. Vegetables good, fruit good, citrus fruits especially good. So those are all things that can influence it. Do we have any other questions? Yes, I still do. I have my website is sexwithsimmery.com, and I write for a few different online sources. And also the podcast, which the awesome Nathan helps with. So yes, is the answer to that question. Hmm? Can we do programming? Do programming like in
the hall. In a hall. Like when you come over and like just talk to other residents about like this or anything else, I guess.
It's possible, yeah. We can figure that out. I mean, I will be on campus this semester teaching anyway, so it could work out. But there are also lots of other human sexuality students who are available to you who would be stoked to do it. So the Human Sexuality Education Student Organization, which is HSEDSO, they would love to hook you up with that. So if I'm not available, you got lots of people who would be glad to and would love the practice and have the experience, and they have knowledge also. So and I also have my card up here. Yeah, and I'm and there's five of them. They're different. You can collect all five. They're pink. So yeah, and if you have any more questions that you didn't ask now, or you just didn't feel like asking right now, you can email me. I'm on Facebook. Sex with Simmery is on Facebook. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes. You found the podcast on iTunes. Yeah.
So just to bring it back to the residents, so if it's like, 2:30 in the morning and someone knocks on my door and say, hey, do you have handcuffs or something? Like I know I saw a lot of stuff on my face, so I'm gonna be like, what? But like, how do you handle that? Like, what, do you just tell them, no, I don't have any, but I know who does? Like, I know, but
Your responsibility as an RA is not necessarily to be the purveyor of like S&M gear, but your helpfulness could be in directing people where they can find out that stuff. Like you'd probably want to have a stash of like safer sex materials. Like you'd want to have condoms, dental dams, finger cots, etc., things of that nature that people might make use of for safety reasons. But if you can familiarize yourself with places where people could get that stuff, that would be helpful. Or just, direct them. There's lots of stores in this area. You got lots of options. So if you can just be a resource and tell people where to look it up, that's as far as you need to do. Like, just make sure that you are expressing that you don't have judgment about it. That you're like, I will show you where to look.
I'm just
Like, I've never gotten it. A resident asked me for handcuffs, but they will knock on your door for condoms, so you could just prepare for that. Not saying it would never happen, but most likely they wouldn't ask you for anything out of the ordinary. They would most likely ask you for some type of condom, but that's it.
Condoms.
Right. Lube or something like that. Yeah.
So keep a supply of that kind of stuff. And again, the health center will hook you up. They have human sexuality education program usually has tablings where they give them out, and they usually have sources. You get, like, when I was the chair of Said So, I would get trash bags full of condoms to give away. So they are there. They are available for you, and and the companies love to give them to college campuses because it's useful to them, and it builds brand loyalty, so it helps them out too.
Oh, by the way, when I was a freshman, right? So when I was a freshman, I was in the engineering dorm. And I guess everyone finished their physics homework that night, so everyone was happy and everyone was, like, parading around the halls, having fun and stuff. But I had, like, two or three friends. They were, like, constantly watching porn together. And they didn't look at it to, like, get aroused. They looked at it because it was funny. So they, like, invited other people from other rooms to look at it. Now, I have two of those three friends on my floor this year. So if they do that again as an RA, is that okay to look at that?
You'd need to look at the rules of the university. Yeah. Yeah.
If it's in a lounge space, you want to be...
No, usually it's in a room.
Yeah, if it's in their room, I mean, that's their own time. They can do what they want in their own room. It's not really affecting anybody else. If it were in a public lounge space where other people might be, one, offended, two, a little upset, any kind of emotion that might trigger things, you know, depending on what kind of porn it is, it can trigger strong emotions from people based on their past history. So that's when you would ask them to take it somewhere private. But if it's in their room, you're allowed to watch. I mean, as long as it is legal. I mean, you know, there's types of things that out there aren't legal.
There are lots of illegal porn.
So, you know, child porn, I mean, get snuff films, all kinds of stuff, which none really exist. They're all fake. But we could talk about that for a long time, too. But besides that, you know, you just want to make sure that they're not offending or upsetting other residents. As long as they're within their room, I would ask them to close the door, perhaps, so no one sees it and, again, gets triggered or things like that.
Makes sense.
A snuff film is when it's...
Google it.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmare@gmail.com. And thank you.